Salutations, my friends, and thank you for tuning in to another one of our mini-casts. Wow, we haven't done one of these in a minute, probably because we've been busy with a lot of back-end stuff. Really trying to organize the format for you guys, but this is not that type of episode or mini-cast. I have titled this one, Population Control, Release the Drugs, because I am beginning to see an abundance of articles that are basically having to deal with drugs, people overdosing, health, medical stuff like that. And if it's one thing we pay attention to over here on this show, it's drugs. So with that being said, let's jump right into it. So as I said, this episode was spurred because I see all kinds of different things surrounding health. Just the other day, we heard about how there are staggering opioid deaths taking place in Maryland. Now, however, today we are hearing in, I think, Pittsburgh, thanks to the war on drugs, New Haven, Connecticut, thanks to the drug war, a mass casualty incident unfolding in the U.S. as a dozen have OD'd on synthetic weed. Now, before I play this clip for you guys, I think it's important because we've talked about how people like Microsoft, Monsanto, Bayer, all these other corporations, they're finding themselves getting involved in medicine, in health. You know, in organic foods, so to speak. So with that, let's let John Alston, the New Haven Fire Chief, John Alston Jr., tell you about the current situation.
Currently, citywide, we have 19 confirmed cases of overdoses since 8 o'clock this morning.
Today.
19.
Are we having a second wave of this?
It doesn't appear to be at the rate or the surge that we had yesterday. There are certain factors that we are looking at as well in terms of persons being on the green. We know on the 1st and the 15th, there are a lot of people in that area, and people that would prey on that population know that schedule, that people may have money on their hands or are just coming downtown for services. We're looking at that. We're using geo data as well to track sort of like a heat map, where these calls are coming in, how long it's taking for us to turn them around so that we can watch the fatigue factor on our people. We're going to be setting up an additional command post that will be running all day today as we look to go into the weekend and more humid and hot weather. We think that may exacerbate certain situations for people. Currently, citywide, we have 19 confirmed cases of overdoses since...
Crazy. 19 cases. And as he said, that's just with one day alone. And in this article, it goes on to tell you how there have been at least 71 people who have overdosed from this synthetic marijuana, with 52 of them near a Connecticut City park. That's crazy. You literally have people overdosing on weed, on synthetic weed, the stuff that they're putting out there. Now, this is something that I've followed personally for a while now. I have had some friends that have smoked some of this K2 weed, some of this synthetic weed, and I've literally seen their ears bleed. I'm not kidding. And the psychosis that comes with it as well. I've also seen individuals who literally look like zombies, standing up straight as if they're just run into like some kind of invisible barrier because of what this stuff does. Now, you're not smoking actual marijuana. You're not smoking weed. You're actually smoking a batch of chemicals. This is something that I pay heavy attention to because as we move forward into the future, you know, recently with Monsanto paying that $280 million lawsuit to Dwayne Johnson, the groundskeeper, who unfortunately developed cancer while working with their glyphosate Roundup. Not only do you have people like Monsanto taking part in agricultural things, but they also have ties to pharmaceutical giants. You know, you got to look at the ties of Bayer. They have roots with the Nazis. And so now these people are buying them out for $66 billion. So this is all stuff that we need to pay attention to. And Microsoft, they are also finding themselves getting involved with marijuana. They don't keep it as open as some of these other companies, but this is for sure something that they're paying attention to. So moving on, let's kind of again jump to what I was talking about with these opioid related deaths in Maryland and how they're staggering. Now the quick clip I'll play for you is from the Baltimore City Health Department Commissioner of Health, Dr. Leanna Wynn, where she talks about the opioid abuse that's taking place in the city. Before I play this for you, I think, again, it's important that we highlight that because of these types of things that are going on, these deaths that are taking place, that's why I call it population control. Donald Trump said towards the start of his presidency that, oh, you know, we have an opioid epidemic. We need to do something about this. And at the same time, when he made that declaration, he also gave basically Amazon the license to begin distributing pharmaceuticals. So if Amazon's already taking over the shipping department, you know, every other third product that's being shipped is basically from Amazon, imagine what happens whenever people start putting in their medical information into Amazon. I recently talked about this on one of our episodes, how Amazon, Alphabet, and Microsoft were getting into the medical field, how they want access to your health data. You see, this is all stuff that we need to pay attention to, and it starts with this. It starts with the deaths. It starts with all this kind of information. And what happens before they start dulling out all kinds of other solutions? Right here, some articles for you guys to go look up. Facebook would like your health data, and this is by Healthcare IT News. Facebook may be eyeing your health data. Should you trust it? This is by the Washington Post. Facebook knows a ton about your health. Now they want to make, I'm not sure what that says, but now they want to make money off of it. This is also by the Washington Post. So to get back to point, let's play this clip for you guys of Dr. Leanna Nguyen talking about the staggering opioid-related deaths that are taking place in Maryland. I put this up July 30th. It's by Zero Hedge. Let's listen.
There is no question that we are at a state of emergency, at a public health crisis here in Baltimore. Last year, in 2017, we just got these numbers that there are 761 people in our city who died from overdose. And the major contributor is fentanyl. Actually, the number of people dying from fentanyl in our city has climbed from 12 in 2013 to nearly 600 last year, which is a 5,000% increase. There is no question that we are at
5,000% increase in death. I remember doing a story a few months back about how fentanyl was coming into America via the postal system because of how they're just shipping it over here from China. It's crazy. And that's the whole point, is to literally dull our senses, to pacify us, to literally put us on not a psychological plantation, but to where we literally no longer can think critically, to no longer where we can act critically, to no longer where we can make decisions based off of the actual information that we're getting. You know, a lot of people don't understand how pervasive this stuff really is. And as I was trying to talk about before, you know, with all these other big tech companies getting involved in health, they can see the depreciation that's taking place. You see, we have that congressional candidate from Pennsylvania who's calling us, you know, irresponsible breeders. What is going on? You know, we have all kinds of different toxins that are in the water system, in the public water system. We're constantly talking about the different revelations that are coming out with that. But why is the drug aspect so important? Because it basically gives people a chance to escape. It's that escapism. You know, it as I said before, dulls our senses to where we don't feel things as crucially. And I understand that, totally. I understand taking drugs. I really do. But I also understand that with drugs comes addictions. And a lot of the drugs, air quotes, that they are offering to us today come with a lot more problems than they do with the solution. I mean, I could go on and on about companies like AstraZeneca, Purdue Pharma, you know, all these other places that take place in what I would consider dehumanizing behavior, because you're essentially creating a junkie. You're creating somebody that feels as though they can no longer naturally produce these chemicals in their body, and they have to have this kind of synthetic alternative in order to function. And then we wonder why mental health is skyrocketing, why people have all kinds of issues. They literally prescribe legal meth to children, that have ADHD or ADD. I mean, you know, what is Adderall? What is Ritalin? This is something else that we've discussed time and time again. My point is, this is a planned thing, right? To literally pollute us with all kinds of drugs to where, yeah, you know, why not live in bliss? Why not take all of these drugs, right? This may sound crazy, But check this out. To stop the cartels, Mexico is strongly considering the legalization of all drugs. This is an article put up by John Vibes of the Free Thought Project, July 19th. They say that Mexico's incoming presidential administration is discussing plans to decriminalize all drugs in an effort to stop cartel violence. Now, how does this correlate to here in America as well as across the world? The reason as to why drugs are illegal is so that it can create this black market of money that can't really be traced. If you legalize it, you literally get rid of all of that market. Now, while this might seem on the surface very good, it's very controversial. I'll try to see if I can give you the short and skinny. If they have all kinds of drugs, this is why you see people who suffer from PTSD, veterans who are taking MDMA, ecstasy, and things like this to try to rebuild the serotonin. Another company that's also getting involved in these types of nutraceuticals, pharmaceuticals, medical and health knowledge is PayPal. They are also taking place in magic mushrooms because apparently it can cure depression. Now, what happens whenever we literally have government, corporations, and also the private sector getting involved in health? Things are going to get crazy. The world is going to have all kinds of different drugs at its disposal. But what happens whenever people literally cannot function without being high? That's it. That's basically where we're going. That's why we have to look at the detox, why we have to cleanse our system, filter out our water, and understand what's happening. That's the whole point, is to pollute us to where literally everything we ingest and drink has these chemicals that make us dependent, or chemicals that make us addicted. This is why even if you go to McDonald's once, they have chemicals that literally I forget what the proper term is, but it basically creates cravings for the food. That's what I mean by with the synthetic marijuana and the fentanyl, you're just getting high off of chemicals. And after a while, if you do these things enough, they bioaccumulate in you. You no longer have the ability to produce these things naturally, and you become dependent upon these types of things. This is why Big Pharma is so devastating. We have children that are growing up addicted to drugs, legal over-the-counter pharmaceuticals. I digress. Let me get into this article, and then we'll move on. We'll close out this minicast for you guys. This week, or that week, Olga Sanchez Cordero, the future interior minister of incoming Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador, announced that the government is strongly considering the decriminalization of all drugs. Sanchez Cordero said at a seminar that she has the full permission from the incoming administration to do whatever it takes to stop the cartel violence in the country and end the drug war. And ending the drug war is at the top of the list. Quote, on the subject of decriminalizing drugs, Andrés Manuel told me, and I quote, carte blanche, whatever is necessary to restore peace in this country. Let's open up the debate. Cordero said, what no one can deny with hard data is that, at least in the past 10 years, the Mexican government has been incapable of stopping violence and responding to the institutional responding to it with institutional mechanisms. The steady increase in violent crime over the past decades is directly correlated with the escalation of the drug war. Now, I'm going to put a pause right there because we're very well aware of where these drugs come from, of the cocaine that gets shipped in, how it gets brought across the border, the weed as well. It's also bundled up and thrown in duffel bags and then, you know, brought across the border. This is very real, okay? It's not racist to point these types of things out. There's actually a lot of money when it comes to drugs. This is why they have to keep it so criminalized and illegal so that they can make money illegally off of it. There is way too much money to be made with it being legal. I mean, look at what California did. It basically ended homeless and started coming up with community programs. Let me get back into this. As we saw during the times of alcohol prohibition, when you ban an inanimate object, you create an incentive for people to get involved in the black market distribution of that object. Since there is no accountability or means of peaceful dispute resolution within the black market, buyers and sellers are forced to resort to violence as their sole means of handling disagreements. Eventually, this violence spills over into the everyday lives of people and affects everyone's lives. No one could imagine Budweiser and Miller Lite in a back alley gunfight, but less than a century ago, during alcohol prohibition, distributors of the drug were involved in shootouts on a regular basis, just as drug gangs are today. Of course, all of this violence came to an immediate end when alcohol was legalized. However, It was not long before the establishment found a new crusade in the drug war, which allowed them to continue the same policy, just with different substances. And that's where we find ourselves today. But these substances that they're pushing to us, if you ask me, they have a far wider ranging application, a far deeper implication than many people think. Which brings me to my point today. We are rapidly degenerating through the blue light that's blinding us on our phones, to the radiation that is also emitted from our phones, to our collective habits that we have developed living in this modern society, how we don't go out and go get sunlight, how we don't eat properly, how we go to places like McDonald's. AI developers have algorithms that will tell doctors how to diagnose their patients, because we were moving into a time frame to where we will have so many different types of problems that doctors won't be able to fully assess them at once. I keep an eye on the concept of them basically installing doctors into the office, because these won't be actual doctors. These won't be AI algorithms. These will just be extensions of IBM, extensions of Watson's, extensions of this technocratic system that literally has all of your information via Facebook. I mean, just the other day we talked about how 23andMe teamed up with GlaxoSmithKline to have access to $5 million users' information. And why is this important? Because again, we're seeing this trend to where technology, health, and medical are merging. Yes, this sounds fantastic, but should everybody have their medical data that publicly available? What happens whenever you start getting sent packages because they have access to your genetic information? Let's get into this article right here. This is by Ryan Brown of Technocracy News. I put this up August 17th. It says, technocrat AI scientists who are not trained physicians will ultimately dominate doctors for patient diagnosis and treatment. They say that the doctors will simply have to adapt. Meanwhile, doctors are pushing back to maintain their role as the primary care giver. As an industry reliant on patient records and beset by outdated technology, healthcare is widely thought to be a prime target for an artificial intelligence revolution. Many believe that technology will provide a host of benefits to clinical practitioners, speeding up the overall experience and diagnosing illnesses early on to identify potential treatment. Just 2 days ago, DeepMind, an AI, an artificial intelligence firm owned by Google, said that it had lent its technology to London's Moorfields Eye Hospital for groundbreaking research into detecting eye diseases. It was used to scan and identify more than 50 ophthalmological conditions. DeepMind's machine learning technology made correct diagnoses of 94% of the patients, 94% of the time. No, 90 correct diagnosis by 94% of the time. The development indicated that AI can analyze health problems with as much accuracy as a doctor, but some doctors worry that those in the tech world think AI can not only help clinicians, but even do a better job. Take Babylon Health, for instance, which in June said that its AI chatbot was able to diagnose medical conditions as accurately as a doctor. The firm's chatbot scored a higher than average test score on the official exam set for clinicians by the Royal College of General Practitioners, an industry body representing GPs, doctors that treat a wide range of common illnesses. Babylon's chatbot passed 82% of the test's questions versus the average mark for human doctors, which was 72%. But the RCGP quickly disputed the claim that AI could diagnose illnesses with the same effectiveness of a human medical practitioner. Quote, no app or algorithm can do what a general practitioner does. And this was said by Helen Stokes Lampard, a professor and chair at the RCGP. Now, we have to understand the time frame that we're at. Technology has really revolutionized how we interact with a lot of different things. Whether or not you have a Fitbit, your phone is keeping track of you. Just today, or not today, this week alone, mainstream media finally caught up with all of us when we started declaring that, yes, Google is constantly tracking you. We're aware of this. And it starts with these types of things. The drugs. That's how these dealers work. That's how these creepy people work. They give you a little sample. They give you a little taste. They get you hooked. and then you don't know how to do or live your life without it. That's what I mean by techno sorcery. That's what I mean by release the drugs. That's what I mean by population control. We have to understand how this scientific dictatorship, this technocracy, these people have taken the time to cultivate it. And when I say release the drugs, yeah, we think legalizing it all would be great. Do people practice discipline these days, though, or do they practice restraint? Or do we all think that we should live in this crazy amount of abundance as provided by places like Google, Amazon, Alphabet, Microsoft, Facebook, and all these other technocratic places? You have to see who's offering this type of freedom, this type of faux false enlightenment, this type of freedom that they say is real, but it's really rose-colored chains. It's just a velvet cage. Deception. You see, and that's the whole point, is to literally get the population so doped up that we can't fight back, that we wouldn't even want to raise a finger. However, that's all I really have for you guys. Hey, I understand. Drugs, hey, that's a good time to some people. And if you're doing it, go ahead. But understand the implications. This synthetic weed, this K2, this fentanyl, these opioids, everything that they're putting out there to people, it comes with consequences. And I'm just here trying to tell you guys, this is something that we need to pay attention to. The deaths are rising. This is definitely becoming more and more of an issue than I think a lot of people understand. And the reason why I look at it is to see not only how these pharmaceuticals and how these drugs are affecting the populace, but how they're also entering, into public water systems, into food, and other things like this as well. We don't want to literally be so doped up on drugs and chemicals that we literally can't think straight. And that's the whole point. If it's not the genetically modified food or the chemtrails, it's now, like I said, this opioid epidemic or the synthetic weed that they're trying to pass off to you. We can generate these types of these feelings, these senses, these chemicals, these responses. We can generate these things naturally. But if we take the shortcut, understand that there's got to be consequences. And these are the types of things that we're talking about. However, like I said, that's all I really have for you guys. If you have any questions, feel free to email me. I'll have it in the description bar below. And as always, guys and gals, stay vigilant, expose lies, and share truth. This is Noisera, Freedom Faction, out.